Got to go out there and execute, play at a high level. It's our last home game, so we want to definitely go out on a high note.
We want to go on a high note, too. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak here on First Take. That was Spencer Rattler talking about some of his goals for the game. Yeah, this offense has not been able to execute efficiently at all, Jeff. That mauling in Green Bay was pretty brutal to withstand, and I know for you on the sideline it had to be rough, obviously, as well.
Yeah,
the problem, obviously, the demerit for me.
Yeah. The problem with going out on a high note is whatever range I had going into this season, it's down. I'm more of a baritone, or I'm not a whatever. You got the idea.
Alto?
Yeah. I'm a low note. That's where we are. Right. But what's a high note for the Saints team? That's really the question. Like, what can you accomplish?
A victory
over
in the home
these
finale.
Final two games that will make you feel better. Not good. You're not going to feel good after a 6-11, 7-whatever season.
Yeah.
But you can feel better about it. And one of the ways you can feel better about it is if these final two games, assuming Spencer Rattler starts both of them, he's obviously going to start today. They're keeping the window open for Derek Carr to potentially return in week 18. I'd be surprised if he did. I think if I'm the Saints, I'm like, well, we'll see if we can get you out there against your former team. But I don't think it makes a ton of sense to get him out there against the Bucs. Whatever. If Spencer Rattler can go out there and look like a guy with potential,
right?
I think you feel a lot better. The problem is those first four starts are tough. And obviously you have that second half against the Commanders where you can say, hey, we showed some positivity here. There were no sacks. There were no turnovers. There was a two-minute touchdown drive in a clutch situation.
We'll just send them out there saying, great, it's the two-minute drill the entire game.
Well, the problem is you can't have someone go out there and start the first quarter of every game and then bench him and then put the other guy in. Like, you got to start the game, too. The guy who comes to mind as the ultimate backup played well is Kevin Cobb for the Eagles way back when. He played so well in a backup role that the Cardinals traded a second-round pick for him at the time.
Like, the Eagles were like, bye.
That's significant. And for their backup, Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who got traded as a backup, too. But Kevin Cobb went out there, and they were like, oh, you can't start. You just look good as a backup. This is a problem. And he never really had any success. So, like, that's a thing. Like, you see guys who play better in a backup role than they do in a starting role. And I just need to see Spencer show that he can succeed in a starting role. He can succeed with all the first-team reps without the other team game-planning for him. And play clean. Don't turn the ball over. Don't take sacks. Like, that's the answer.
Rattler was asked this week in the locker room, what does it mean making his sixth career NFL start? Oh, fifth career.
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, I didn't expect to be in this position that early, but we're here now. Obviously, want to finish strong, last home game. You know, we definitely want to have a great showing and leave a good taste in everybody's mouth.
Sixth appearance, I guess. Fifth start.
Fifth start. And, you know, I looked this up. I spent some time this week and did the research firm of me on my laptop. And so going back to 1970, I went back and looked at all the fifth-round quarterbacks dating back to 1970. Only three started five or more games as a rookie. I'm not going to ask you to guess because you're never going to guess. In 2011, T.J. Yates with the Texans, he started 10 games in his career, five as a rookie.
Right.
He went 3-2. In 2004... I'm sorry, he went 2-3. In 2004, Craig Krenzel with the Bears, he started five games as a rookie.
Wow,
he went 3-2. Craig Krenzel, the most successful fifth-round pick probably in terms of, okay, the guy you'd want Spencer to probably emulate in terms of a guy who did not play well as a rookie but had a really successful career. Steve Grogan with the Patriots. Career, 135 starts. He went 75-65. As a rookie, he started seven games. He went 1-6. So if you're looking at that and you're like, okay, how can Spencer Rattler be Steve Grogan? He could start seven games. If he starts next week against the Bucs, probably not going to win that game. It's going to be a tough game. But if you want to go 1-6, I feel like winning one game is valuable in this instance. Like, you got to show how to win.
Absolutely,
can win games. Because I look at all these quarterbacks, all these fifth-round quarterbacks that had success over their careers. The ones who started as a rookie, they at least won a game. You know? Like, that's the biggest difference. And so, you know, there's fifth-round rookies. There have been 65, 37 have started games. 17 started games as a rookie. They went 16-31 in those games. So the trend is not you dominate as a fifth-round rookie, but in most instances, you go out there and you could find a way to win one game because kind of spinning that positivity forward. Like, you see a lot of these guys go out there and, you know, they'll start a game or two. If they don't have success, a lot of them, they never start again. Now, there are obviously other examples. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. Brock Purdy was a seventh-round pick. Gardner Minshew was a sixth-round pick. What those guys have in common, one of the reasons they've had long, successful careers, or at least extended successful careers, is they won games as a rookie. Gardner Minshew went 6-6. Brock Purdy went 5-0. Dak Prescott, they went 13-3 in his rookie season. It's a lot easier to sell positivity around a late round quarterback.
Just win, baby.
When you've won games, when you've shown that there can be positivity. So that's the key, I think.
Here's what Clint Kubiak, the Saints offensive coordinator, had to say about Spencer Rattler.
I see him win. I see him take the team to go win, whatever it takes, whether it's a 6-3 game like you saw on Thursday night, or it's a 50-48 banger. So I just want to go see him win.
What's the most important message that you want him to take from him?
Well, I would like him to learn that the ball is on fire. When the pass rush is out, we got to get out of our hands. We can't take sacks in 2 minutes. Got to make quick decisions. And you got to go above and beyond the X's and O's to get the job done for the team.
The ball is on fire,
Jeff. The ball's on fire. I like that.
Get word of it.
You know, sometimes every now and then Clint will grin when you say it's a question and be like, the ball's on fire. And you can tell it's something that he's like said on repeat to the team all week because he's got to, you know, that's my catchphrase. The ball's on fire. But no, I think it's exactly what I want to see. That's been my problem with Spencer is when sometimes I think he sees a look that he's not ready for, or he sees pressure from somewhere he's not expecting it, and he freezes, and either he makes a throw into a spot he shouldn't, or he holds onto the ball, or he panics, and just like the fumble against the Packers, that was a panic fumble. There's no way around it. You know, like obviously, you know, a sack there isn't optimal, but a fumble there is the worst thing you could possibly do. Like you talk all the time, don't make a bad play worse. That's exactly what he did there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can just throw that ball away, if you can dump it at the feet of your running back, if you can, you know, just do anything to avoid that play, that's a different scenario. You're probably not getting shut out. You're probably kicking a field goal there instead of, you know, giving the ball away near midfield. You know, the other example is another bad turnover was the interception right after that kind of spectacular jump pass moment. And I think that's been a problem for Spencer is, I don't know if maybe he kind of like when he makes a big play, he takes a deep breath and doesn't, you know, he's not as locked in. He's not as dialed in for that next play. But it does seem like every time he has a successful moment in the Saints jersey as a starter, it's followed up by a kind of head scratching, like what happened.
The old one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, and so that's, you just want to be able to string positive plays together. Because there have been moments. One thing Darren Rizzi said this week that I think is right on is, you know, if you took Spencer Rattler's top 10 plays from that game and just put him on a highlight reel, you'd be like, oh man, we got something here. But then if you turned around and you took his bottom 10 plays from that game and put him on a low light reel, you'd be like, yikes.
Ooh, right.
This is bad. And it's like, it's got to be somewhere in the middle. Like your baseline has to be higher. Because you know the ceiling is high. You've seen it. You can see the talent. You can see the arm. You can see, you know, when he's in a rhythm, he can make big plays and he can make big throws. He can give guys chances to succeed. But when he's struggling, it's hard. It's bad.
No, we've talked about it, too. That one play where he made the jump pass was absolutely unbelievable. And then you turn around, very next play, you throw a duck.
Very next play. A lot of times we'll say, like, oh, on the next play. No, literally the next play. It was a bad interception. It was a misread interception. It was, I didn't see the defensive back sinking in coverage. And it's not the first time we've seen that happen. And now he's a rookie, right? And that's the risk you run when you throw a rookie in there is you're going to get shown looks that maybe you've never seen before. And you're not exactly sure what they're going to do. And you're going to make mistakes. But I don't know, like some positivity closing out this season. Because I think if you go out there and you can't look competitive against the Raiders, and who knows what happens next week against the Bucks, you're going to go into the offseason, you're going to be sitting there with a top whatever pick, and there's going to be quarterbacks on the board, and you're going to have to look at them. And the question is, do you feel like, hey, we have a guy here, or do you not? Because if you don't, then you have to go at least kick the tires on, hey, does this guy have a future? Does this quarterback have a future?
Yeah.
So that's what these next few games are going to be about for Spencer.
You're talking about the limiting the turnovers, and here's what Spencer Rattler had to say about that.
I think it's just having great focus every play, avoiding a couple disaster plays. Felt like I did a good job of that in prior games, but, you know, you're in a road environment like that. You just got to dial yourself in every single play. Understand that everybody has to do their job to have success on each play, but at the end of the day, the ball's in my hands. It's up to me to protect it. So definitely disappointed with you know, that last game, but, you know, want to be better this game to win, because if you don't, you'll lose.
Yeah, not ideal conditions for Spencer Rattler in any of these games. We know he's been limited with playmakers. The offensive line has been banged up. But at the end of the story, nobody wants to hear any of that excuses, as you would say, for it, even though they are legitimate, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? But, like, you got to protect the ball. You're the quarterback.
Yeah.
The ball is in your hands on every play. You've got to protect the ball. He just hasn't done that well enough yet. There's two interceptions. It's the fumbles that that are frustrating, because the fumbles are kind of more of a sign of, you know, and I used to feel this way about Daniel Jones. If you look back at Daniel Jones' career, one of the things he struggled with early in his career was he just didn't see the rush, and they, like, he wasn't able to protect the ball. Like, he wasn't able to identify where it was coming from early enough to avoid getting the ball knocked out, getting the ball stripped. And there was a couple plays in his rookie season in particular where you saw a guy just come clean off the edge. He didn't see him. And I know Jamal Adams was one of those. I think Chandler Jones had one. He just ripped the ball out of his hands. And I felt that way about Spencer sometimes. It's like, I don't know if he's identifying the rush well enough. And you know, that's, again, you're talking about a rookie. You don't want to start a rookie. There's a reason Sean Payton always erred toward these veteran backups that you could put in the game and feel like, oh, we don't have to start from scratch. You don't have that when you're dealing with a rookie. You got to kind of accept what you have and accept what he's capable of now and kind of look forward of, okay, what can he develop into in the future? The problem is, in today's NFL, you don't get that much time. You know, like, this is not what it was in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Like, you either succeed or you don't.
Ready to move on from you quickly, right?
Because there's a draft every year. There's young quarterbacks every year. And if you feel like the guy in the draft has more upside than the guy on your team, you're going to go draft the guy in the draft, right? You're going to go pick the guy in the draft. So, you know, you got to string something together that you can look at positively.
Talked about, obviously, the lack of weapons for Spencer Rattler. But there is someone he has been able to at least lean on in tight end Foster Moreau. And Rattler spoke about what Moreau means to him and this team.
You know, he's one of our guys right there. That's one of our rocks. Like, you know, he's a sure-handed guy, really smart, high IQ player, and has some of the best, if not the best, energy on the team. Great leader.
Coffee maker.
Yeah, we've talked about it before with Moreau. He definitely seems like someone, I don't know if he has interest in getting into coaching, maybe broadcasting, but definitely very vocal guy that is able to, you know, speak the game, makes you want to listen, and I think definitely is someone that at least that Rattler can lean on in this offense, because there's not many pieces right now. Hopefully we get Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the mix today.
Yeah, I think he's still got stuff to do as a player before he worries about his broadcasting career, because I think he's had a really strong season. You know, I think you're going to look at this season, you're going to say, okay, who exceeded expectations by the most?
And there's not many.
There's not a ton, but Foster's one of those guys. You know, his numbers aren't going to jump off the page. You're talking about 20-something catches, 200-something yards, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. But it's the moments in which he catches these passes and the difficulty that these catches present that has been really impressive. And I don't know, I kind of feel like, hey, is it time that we try to, like, feature Foster Moreau more in the passing game?
Couldn't hurt.
It seems like every time they throw in the ball, I think in the month of December, he's 10 of 13 and targets, right? Why is it only 13? That's my question. Why isn't it more than that? And so I don't know. If I'm looking for things over these final 2 weeks to be happy about, I kind of feel like, hey, give Foster a bigger role in the passing game, and let's see what he does with it, because he's 27 years old, right? Like, he's got good hands. If you give him chances, he makes plays. Give him more chances. Give him more opportunities. I don't see why. What do you have to lose?
No, especially with all of, you know, the wide receivers are out. And a guy like Alvin Kamara not in the mix, you need any kind of playmaker in this offense that can provide a spark for you. Also, in this fifth start for Rattler, he was basically asked, what is your mindset for this game?
Can't waste this opportunity. Got to play great and, you know, take my game to a whole nother level in the offseason. Feel like I haven't even shown what I got fully yet. So hopefully we can do that on Sunday. But the mindset stays the same. Want to get better and better throughout this season and obviously in the offseason.
Yeah, just looking to improve. We need to see that out of Rattler. And I think, you know, you mentioned the turnovers. That's been a huge issue. And then just being able to read and recognition needs to get improving as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that is something he can get better at. You know, I think it's a myth that, like, okay, you either are or you aren't. You know, like, you do develop over the course of time.
Right, I can't make your arm any better.
Right, I think arm strength, arm talent, that's something that you kind of just have to have. You know, height, you can't change,
right.
You know, stuff like that. But, you know, the term people want to use is moxie. And I don't know, I want to see that. I want to see kind of those intangible qualities that just make you feel like you're watching a starting quarterback. Because it is what it is. Like, you're 5-10, you're not making the postseason. But there are very different ways you can finish out this season. And there's a very negative way you can finish out this season. And a loss to the Raiders in this environment, in your home environment, your final home game, will feel very negative. And you're going to have to, you know, I don't know, is Darren Rizzi a serious candidate to keep the job? We'll find out. But, you know, I think in order to do that, you have to show that you can lead this team in non-optimal circumstances. And this is anything but optimal. And I think one statement he can make is, you know, we were on a seven-game losing streak when I took over the job, and we were able to right the ship. Now, did it last the entire second half of the season? No, but you never expected that to be the case when you sent him in as the interim. I think there was a realistic possibility that you were the three-win team in this matchup.
Yeah.
And instead, you have five wins because you took down, you know, wins over the Falcons, over the Giants, and who was the other team they beat? I'm blanking.
Browns.
Yeah. Over the Browns. And you played tight games against the Rams and the Commanders. You lost big against the Packers. It's a very good team. And so I think if you can turn things around again, if you can finish out the season, you can say this is a trend. The trend is when things are going badly, I can right the ship. That's what you have to be able to say as Darren Rizzi. Now, if you can't do that, if you can't go out there and be competitive today, if you can't beat the Raiders, if you can't go to Tampa and in a stadium you've played very well in as a team and at least give them a run, then I think that kind of makes the decision for you. And you'll see. But I do know that the Saints, yeah, I don't think they are really into this process yet. I think they are going to wait for this evaluation to play out before they make a decision on who even their shortlist is for the head coach.
We've heard a little bit of rumblings of, you know, suspected candidates.
Sure, and that's always going to be the case. You're human. You're going to have these kind of ideas floating around in your brain.
Right.
But I don't think, like, officially they're going to really start this process until the end of the year. They're going to give Darren a chance to state his case, and that's a big statement today.
Looking at some of those rumors, I know mentioned was Mike Vrabel, the former Tennessee Titans head coach, and obviously the Patriots linebacker, and also a former Saints personnel in Aaron Glenn, who is the defensive coordinator with the Lions right now. And both are have some interesting qualities about them. Glenn, the familiarity here in New Orleans seems to, you know, scream like an easy choice, but there's still a ton of to think about there. You're basically, I don't want to say keeping around the Dennis Allen defense, but a lot of the same, I guess, schemes that DA would have, I would imagine that Aaron Glenn has as well.
Yeah, it probably would allow you to make that change with a minimal amount of turnover, which I don't know if that's what you want.
Maybe
is that what you
Clint
want?
Kubiak, I don't know.
I mean, that's the question, is what exactly are you looking for? And, you know, I think the term total rebuild gets thrown around, tear down,
whatever.
Right. I think it kind of loses the plot on, like, it's a lot more complicated of a process than just saying, all right, let's start over, hit the eject button, let's fire everybody and hire an entire new staff. Teams aren't really prone to do that as much as it sounds, as much as people seem to think they are. Like, there's so many decision makers throughout the building that you can't just pull everybody out and start from scratch. That said, I just hope when this process kind of plays out that if you go with Aaron Glenn, and I have no issue with Aaron Glenn as a potential candidate to be the head coach. My only issue is, are you choosing Aaron Glenn because you're familiar with him and because of the Sean Payton connection and whatever? Because I just think we're past that. Like, I don't think the ghost of Sean Payton should continue being a major part of the decision-making in the Saints building on Airline Drive. As successful as things were, as well as that went, I think you have to chart your own course at this point.
Right, he's gone.
Right. Now, so if Aaron Glenn is the best candidate and you come through your process and you're like, we're all in on Aaron Glenn, I'm perfectly fine with that. But if the reason you're landing on Aaron Glenn is Sean Payton and the connection to Sean Payton, then I just don't like that decision-making process. And I think folks need to be honest with themselves and say, is that why we're doing this? Is that why you're choosing a particular guy? Because of his familiarity with Sean Payton. And I just think we're beyond that. That's gone. The continuity thing, it's over with. Let's start a new path here.